All right. So apparently we're live. Well, greetings and salutations, everybody. Welcome to our continuing CinemaCon coverage. I'm, of course, John Campia. This is Ann Campia. That's Ray Ora. Taylor Gonzalez is actually sitting over there. I was going to say something, but I won't. And it's good to have you guys here as we continue our coverage of CinemaCon. Today, we've got a lot to cover. Like a whole crap load of stuff to cover because we didn't have time this morning to do a Lionsgate wrap up. So we're kind of combining Lionsgate's presentation from earlier today with the Universal presentation that we just got out of. And so we're just going to combine it all into one. And there is a lot to go over. Okay. First, Lionsgate, we're going to start off with them. They put on a great presentation. It was quick. They moved through it really snappy. They covered a lot of film. I think they had at least 12 films they showed us trailers for.
More than that.
That I don't even think they revealed. I don't think they dropped them to the public. Yeah. So we saw a lot of different stuff. And then Universal did this big thing and they ended it off with a big presentation of Wicked, which was, Anne was crying.
Of course.
She was crying.
Last year.
And it was awesome. Like, it's gotten me really excited for Wicked, and I'm not exactly their target audience, so good job for what they're doing there. Okay, so let's get things rolling here with the Lionsgate presentation. Anne has a note for all the stuff they started with. So what did they start with?
Okay, so they started with just quick announcements highlighting that Highlander, Naruto, Now You See Me.
Oh, right. Naruto
and Monopoly
with
are happening.
Destin Cretton, who is the director of Shang-Chi. He's going to be like not just directing. How do you pronounce it? Naruto.
Naruto.
Not just doing one, but like an entire Naruto cinematic universe, apparently. So that's pretty cool. Then they talked a lot about the Highlander that they obviously haven't started shooting yet, so they had nothing to show for that. And then they kicked things off. What was the first movie they kicked things off with?
Well, also they announced Margot Robbie behind Monopoly.
Yep, again. Lucky Cap.
And then they brought Henry Cavill out to talk about two movies, actually. One that's coming out very soon.
Right. So, I wanted to scream and cheer. They brought Henry Cavill out on stage to talk about two films he's got coming up. Both directed by Guy Ritchie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And both coming from Lionsgate. One is, of course, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which I guess AMC did their Secret Monday screening was that movie.
Oh, okay.
This week. So good for them for doing that. And I've heard some pretty good things from people who've seen it. So that looked great. You guys already know all about that. It's about to come out. But another film that's coming out that Henry Cavill is doing with Guy Ritchie and is also has Isaac Gonzalez, who is also in the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and Jake Gyllenhaal, called In the Gray. And they are basically, the way the trailer sets it up is that they are a group that goes and steals back money that somebody else stole. So like when a huge amount of money gets stolen, they're the ones who go in and steal it back. And it looks really good. They show the trailer for it, a lot of action, a lot of chemistry. They showed a lot of exchanges between Henry Cavill and Jake Gyllenhaal and Isaac Gonzalez. They're the team. And who else is in that?
Rosamund.
Rosamund Pike is in there, which looks awesome. What did you think of that trailer?
I love Guy Ritchie movies, and I think the witty banter that happens and how quick it is. I think he's locked in on like his core cast of people. Like Scorsese likes to work with the same people. It feels like Guy Ritchie does too. And I think the more you get to work with somebody, the more you can play off of each other creatively.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. I think it's going to be interesting, and it's definitely a plot movie. Not
and,
a journey.
Yeah, no, Henry Cavill and Jake Gyllenhaal, they seem like they have the same job, right?
Well, they're on the same team, yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. I thought from the trailer they had just met each other, but yet they just did.
No, they did the same job. No, they're on the same team. Oh, okay. The three of them are the team that goes and does that stuff. So yeah, it's called In the Gray. We have not been paying much attention to it. I don't think they released the trailer for it publicly, but they showed it to us. Looked really good. I love Guy Ritchie. So that was Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare and In the Gray with Henry Cavill, Jake Gyllenhaal, Isaac Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. Then what was next?
Just a quick call out, no trailer or anything to Unsung Hero, which I think is coming out this soon.
Right. So who cares?
Then we get into kind of the thriller horror genre, I think. And they were talking about The Strangers.
Oh, yeah. They're doing The Strangers again. This one's called Strangers Chapter 1.
Yeah. How they became The Strangers.
The Strangers. And apparently they're releasing three movies all this year. The Strangers Chapter 1, The Strangers Chapter 2, and The Strangers Chapter 3. And I didn't love the original Strangers. This trailer looks pretty freaky. And there's a moment in the trailer that is kind of like the moment in A Quiet Place. You know, when Emily Blunt is walking down the stairs, they have kind of a similar shot to that as they're crawling through the ductwork.
Right. I hate that.
Oh, my God. I mean, this thing, it looked really, really creepy. So, yeah, that looked really good. What did you think about it?
Oh, I thought it's supposed to be a prequel, right? Of how...
I wasn't really sure. I
thought they were saying that this is how the strangers in the actual first movie, how they became the strangers.
Yeah.
I thought so. That's what they said before.
I might have missed that.
I mean, they were already in mass and everything in the trailer, though. So I don't know if that relationship was already established.
Oh, I thought that's what they were saying, that this movie sets these characters in motion, too.
This thing is so distracting. Yeah. They gave out these at the Wicked presentation. Oh, now it turns off. Oh, there it is. It's now...
Oh, you can't tell.
You can't really tell.
It is lighting up.
It's lighting on and off.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, for Wicked, which is pretty cool.
Well, I think the creepiest thing for The Strangers, to me, is when you watch these, like, scary movies or these thrillers where there's, like, a psychotic killer, they call out, like, that I think they're trying to tell you they have no motivation behind it.
Well, yeah, on the screen, the words come up, they don't need a reason.
Yeah, and to me, that's the fucking freakiest thing, is when a killer is just a killer and there's no kind of thing that's pushing them to be doing
it. It starts off with them, like, they're terrorizing this woman who's tied up in a chair, and the woman yells what everybody would yell, "Why are you doing this?" And the one girl leans and just says, "Because you're here." That's it. And this is, they don't need a reason, which is kind of like creepy. So
wrong place at the wrong time.
That looked pretty good. That looked pretty good. All right. What was next?
They did a quick shout out to Blair Witch.
Oh, yeah. So Blumhouse is reimagining the Blair Witch. And maybe that was news that was out, but
they say it's a trilogy.
They didn't say anything.
Oh.
Yeah. They didn't say it was a trilogy or anything. But I don't remember hearing about this. So Blumhouse is doing the Blair Witch again. They just put the title on the screen and that's it. So don't really know when that's coming. But if anybody can take Blair Witch and do a revamping and reimagining of it, I mean, it's Jason Blum.
Definitely agree.
So he'll be able to make that into something really creepy. I'm just interested in knowing if it's going to be found footage style, like the original Blair Witch, or if they're just going to do a traditional narrative style. I don't have a preference one way or the other. But it's going to be interesting to see how they do it.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
All right. So we'll stay with the kind of horror genre then. Halle Berry's Never Let Go.
Oh.
Ooh. This one, I mean, I heard of this project, but I had no idea what it was, like, at all. For all I knew, it was some romance movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they showed us the trailer for the new Halle Berry film, Never Let Go. The basic premise is this. Halle Berry and her two 10-year-old sons live in this cottage in the woods alone, and they've never left. And the only way they can leave the house is if they have a big rope tied to the house and the rope tied around them. Because if they ever leave the house without being connected to the house by this rope, zombie monsters come out and will kill them. And then the trailer brings up, like, this question about, like, the kids start questioning, is mom telling us the truth or is she just crazy and keeping us alone? Because they've never met any other human beings. Like, they were born in that cottage. They've been in that cottage their whole lives.
They're twins, too.
Oh, yeah, they're twins. You're right. And we came out of the presentation discussing it ourselves. Is she crazy? Are there monsters real? What's it all about?
It's one of those movies where you kind of probably need to watch it during the first week it comes out, because everyone's going to tell you, or you're going to find out what it's. It's one of those ones. It feels like there's going to be a discussion around it every time they drop a trailer until it's released. Yeah. It's because you could go many ways and how and what you think is happening. Because there is going to be an answer at the end of this movie.
Yeah, some kind of twist.
Yep.
Maybe it's in the same cinematic universe as M. Night Shyamalan's The Village.
The Village.
And they live right next door to The Village. I don't know. But, I mean, it looks like a very simple, low-budget, but really interesting film. And Halle Berry, Halle Berry came out on stage, stunning.
Yeah, of course.
Like, always. Super stunning. So she comes out on stage and talked about the movie and all that kind of stuff. So it's always cool to see her live.
Can I add something? Lionsgate seems to love having horror based on isolated people. Somewhere in isolation.
Yeah.
The strangers, it's always two people that rent a cabin with no one else around it. And they get found. And now we got Halle Berry stuck in the woods with twins.
I just love that she's doing this movie.
Yeah.
And she's all over it, too. It's not just acting in
She's the executive producer of the movie and all that kind of stuff.
She's so involved in it.
Yeah.
All right. What was up next?
Next one. Okay. We'll transition to The Crow.
Okay. This is going to be controversial, but I don't give a shit what anybody else says. The Crow doesn't look bad. Mm-hmm. They did a big presentation on The Crow. They showed us a lot more of it. And I understand there's already a whole bunch of people out there who have pre-decided that they're going to hate the new Crow. Whatever. I'm not talking to any of you because you've already decided and there's no point in having a discussion with you. But I always say, judge a movie on its own merits, right? And I have no skin in the game with The Crow. I don't really give a shit about The Crow. I thought The Crow was an okay little movie back in the day that achieved, you know, cult classic status somehow. That's fine. I don't mind when people love it. I don't mind if people hate it. I have no skin in that game. I thought it was a pretty good little film back in the day, whatever. So I don't care. So just watching the footage that they showed us, this doesn't look bad. It actually looks kind of creepy and it looks like the action is going to be really good. Listen, and Skarsgård, I mean, one of multiple of them. They're all amazing. All the Skarsgårds are great. But, I mean, this is Bill Skarsgård.
Or I like to call him Joe Burrow.
Skarsgård. He does look like Joe Burrow. This kid's a star.
Of course.
This kid's a star. And it actually really looked pretty listen, I'm not saying this is going to be like one of the top 10 movies of the year or anything like that. I'm not even saying the movie's going to be good. It might not. But it looks pretty decent. What did you think?
It looks brutal. That's all I'd say. There's a shot at the end where he sticks some guy in the eye, right? With like some sort
oh
of-
my God, there's a shot.
And it's slow.
And this isn't a spoiler because it's going to be in a trailer later. So this isn't a spoiler. But he's like Skarsgård jumps on top of this like hitman guy and he's got the gun and he's pushing the gun down into the hit guy's face and it pushes the gun right through his eye socket before pulling the trigger. All I thought to myself was Chris Carr will not watch this.
High violence.
The trailer does get you going a little bit.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, they just the small parts that we see, his relationship with this girl. They met like what in a prison? Something insane they matched up in prison with like or the same sort of a therapy.
Therapy kind asylum, of place, whatever. Sort of but it's, I mean, the word Ray used is the right word. This movie is brutal. It's real violent, like real violent. And again, the movie might
I'm gonna watch it.
I'm gonna see it. The marketing actually looks pretty okay. All right. Next. What else we have next?
Okay, let's go with the greatest Christmas pageant ever.
Brought to you by like Kingdom Pictures or whatever. By the way, listen, we have always said this. The movie studios, they don't care about any cause in the world. What they care about is money, like any other company. And I've always said, if you can make a movie about a certain issue or a certain group or whatever, and show that it can make money, that's all the studios care about. So there have been, in the last couple of years, a couple of faith-based film examples that, you know, there is an audience for that. Yeah. And when Hollywood recognizes that there's an audience for it, they will jump on that train.
It's a business.
Happily, right? So you've been getting a couple of these faith-based things too. So it always makes me laugh though when I hear people complain, I don't want to see a movie with any message, but give me faith-based movies. The hypocrite. But they showed this trailer for this new one they have coming out called The Greatest Christmas Pageant Ever. And I thought it looked like garbage.
I thought it looked.
You guys thought it looked okay.
I mean, it's
the run of the mill.
Yeah, you gotta.
It's so exactly. Run of the mill.
But why not?
Paint by numbers. I didn't laugh once during it. I mean, Christmas is my favorite. Christmas is my single favorite day of the year. I mean, I love Christmas, but it was just so. It looked like a Hallmark Channel. Yes. TV movie.
Yeah.
Did it not? It looked like a Hallmark Channel TV movie.
Like, what?
They all are like Hallmark.
Yeah.
This one, you could tell what's going to happen. It's real easy.
It's pretty obvious.
But we need new ones every year, and this is their new one. So take for what it is. Wait for the trailer to drop. You guys will see what we're talking about.
Film for the entire family. Yes.
I mean, like, the basic thing is there's this family who's in charge of putting on the big church Christmas pageant this year. But there's this one family of kids that are like the troublemaker kids.
The Hermans.
Is that what their name was?
The Hermans.
The Hermans. They're the troublemaker kids, right? And they want to be in the church Christmas pageant. And a lot of the people in church are like, no, because they're troublemaker kids. But the hero family is like, no, like we should be including all of them. Now, of course, the troublemaker kids were white kids. I'd be curious to see if they would have the same message if their neighbors were black kids or from a gay family. Or I'm just curious to see how far their message of Christmas would really go. But they kept it pretty safe.
I mean, on the only Christmas movie they show, you have the biggest problem
I'm just saying.
A happy, sweet movie. But you know what? It's
as basic. Long as they're white kids, the love of Jesus will be there for them.
I think a movie like this, especially the kids in it, there's going to be some standout from them, and they're going to break off into careers, right? So I don't know. I'll watch it if it's on TV. I'm not going to theater to watch this movie. I'm sorry. I'm just not.
Okay, I'll say this though. Of all the crap I just talked, Christmas is my favorite time of year. So if some of you see it and tell me it's pretty good, I will probably get it to see it.
Yeah, true.
Because it's a Christmas movie.
And it looks like an hour 30. It looks like an hour 30 dirty.
John Crampy. Yeah. Instead of Krampus.
Instead of Krampus. All right, what was next?
Well, that was it. That was the movie they ended with because it was such
a Michael.
Yeah, that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest Christmas convention ever. Have a good CinemaCon, everybody.
That'd be funny.
What? Ballerina? Who cares about Ballerina? Right. We got the greatest Christmas pageant ever.
Borderlands.
I tried to put them together here, so we'll start with Borderlands.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Borderlands. So who came out on stage?
Eli Roth.
Eli Roth and
Ariana Greenblatt.
Yeah, Ariana Greenblatt, who is adorable.
16.
Oh my God, you just want to eat her up with a spoon.
Yeah,
she's so and like
very sweet.
She made it when she was 13. She filmed the movie when she was 13. She's on stage introducing this now, 16 years old. I mean, look, you got this cast. You've got a couple of Academy Award winners in it. You've got one of the greatest actresses of all time Kate Blanchett. You've got Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yep.
Jack Black doing the voice of the robot,
Kevin Hart,
and how do you say his name? Montu or?
Oh, Florence
Florence.
Oh, from Shang-Chi.
Yeah,
Shang-Chi.
The guy who's the guy with the blade for an arm in Shang-Chi, and he's in Creed 2. He's Ivan Drago's son. He's the guy in the mask. And they came out, and listen, look, I saw the trailer. I don't think the trailer for Borderlands looks all that great. But boy, Eli Roth is passionate about this movie. And they do seem to really believe in it. And they think they did something right. I mean, so they showed us a whole new like 6, 7, 8 minute sizzle. And even though the first trailer kind of made it look a little bit like a Guardians of the Galaxy ripoff.
Yeah.
This new 6 or 7 or 8 minutes really drives home that it's a Guardians of the Galaxy ripoff.
Yeah.
I mean,
Music.
Manitou dude, he's clearly Drax. The little robot is Rocket. Cate Blanchett is Gamora. Kevin Hart is kind of your Star-Lord. I mean, it just, it really is.
It's
but it didn't look bad. I mean, the highlight, though, is the robot.
Claptrap. Oh, Claptrap. Yeah.
What's the name of the robot?
Claptrap.
Claptrap? It sounds like an STD. Claptrap, the robot.
Super funny.
Is pretty funny. Anne was laughing a lot. But what did you think about the thing overall?
This is like Guardians, if you threw it in a blender with like Mad Max, like Wasteland sort of thing, maybe with a little bit of Fallout. I wasn't on board with this movie, but after what they showed, I my foot's on the doorway on that train, on the Borderlands train. I'm going to go see this. It looks good to me now.
What did you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I know nothing of the story. Of course, the trailer really did watch like a Guardians James Gunn movie. Even the music they used, I was like...
Yeah, it felt very James Gunn.
If you told me James Gunn made this movie, I would believe you. But, you know, knowing nothing of the story, if there's chemistry with the core cast, which it feels like there is, and then with Eli Roth kind of directing everything, then I think it might end up being great.
I'll say this. Eli Roth and Ariana Greenblatt did more to sell me on the movie than the footage did, but it could be fun. It could be fun. And they're clearly really passionate about it. So there was that. All right. What was next?
All right. Next. Speaking of Guardians, the Killers Game with Dave Bautista.
All right. I read the synopsis of this and I thought it sounded dumb. I saw the trailer and now I want to see it. Dave Bautista, by the way, Sophia Boutella is in. He plays his love interest. Who else was in that? Plum Clementeef. Drax and Mantis together again. So the basic premise for the Killer's Game is Dave Bautista is an assassin hitman. And when he has, when he passes out one day, he goes to the doctors and they say, you have a brain tumor. You have 3 months to live. So Dave Bautista decides... He doesn't want to just wither away and have his daughter see him, you know, like that.
Yeah.
So he goes to the agency and says, I want to put out a hit on myself. Like, I want somebody to take me out.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see it coming.
And Palm is running the agency.
Yeah, Palm is like running the hitman agency. Like,
yeah.
And she's like, awesome, because I've always hated you and now I get to kill you. This is great, right? Yeah. But of course, plot twist... Dave Bautista gets a call from the doctor saying, we made a horrible mistake.
Of course.
Your test results got mixed up with somebody else's test results. You're fine. But now the hitmen don't want to take down the contract. They want to take him out. So it's a, and you know what? I thought it sounded kind of lame and overly simple and very stereotypical.
It does.
It does. But the trailer sells it. And I liked it. I'm actually kind of excited about it. What do you think of the trailer?
I love Drax. I love Dave Bautista. I love Palm, but they got to give me a little bit more. I think I need to see a little bit more because all that gung fu is all reserved for John Wick and that universe right now.
I don't think there's any gung fu. I thought it just felt more like 80s Arnold gun action, gung fu or something.
But I'll wait for the next trailer. The premise was kind of cheesy to me.
I mean, is totally cheesy.
Who gets a brain thing? But you know what? Then I'm looking more into it than I should. So I'm going to stop right there. Just the action itself, it didn't make me want to go see it yet. I got to
say, really? Oh, I totally
watched the game. Yeah, because we've seen a lot of stuff from Lionsgate.
We've
seen a lot of great action stuff from Lionsgate. I'm going to wait for the next trailer.
All right.
Okay.
I bet it worked really well for me. What about you?
It worked for me too. I will always support Filipino Dave Bautista.
Oh, now you make me feel bad.
No, but I think this is going to be the true testament to... So Dave has come out in his interviews and said, I really want to work on my craft and hone my craft of acting.
He's always had that attitude.
Yeah, and he's had such a determination to get better at this. So to me, I think this movie is going to be indicative of, can he carry a movie as the lead character?
All right.
I think that the trailer kind of showed that he might be able to. So I'm excited to see him
All right. And praise Lionsgate for actually giving him that shot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and they talked about other movies they worked with him on, which were really good. And well, anyway, now that we've talked about that and Ray's racist take on it, let's move on to the next one, shall we? What's next?
Flight Risk.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Okay. Wait a second. Flight Risk. New one. I got to say this. I didn't know about this project. I didn't know about it. Like some of the other ones, oh yeah, I heard about that and I read what the basic idea, but this one I hadn't even heard of. Flight Risk is a very simple sounding movie, but I love these one location character driven movies. Whether you're talking about like Tom Hanks on an island or whether you're talking about a really good one, Ryan Reynolds is Buried, where the whole movie is just in the box.
Didn't like, Jake Gyllenhaal do one recently too, where he was like he answered phone calls or he was like, it was a Netflix movie. Where he would like, he was just calling like the 911 center.
Never heard of it.
He was just, okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I never heard of it. That's all. So the basic idea is this.
Let me look at this.
It's, here's the funny thing. So it's directed by Mel Gibson. They don't want to put Mel Gibson's name on it. So it says from the director of Apocalypto, not Heartbreak Ridge, what's the one he just did with Andrew Garfield? Hacksaw Ridge. Yeah. Hacksaw Ridge and the third one, right? It's just from the director of blah, blah, blah. They don't actually put Mel Gibson's name on it. So
it's called The Guilty. Is that what people are saying?
What
you were trying, what movie you were trying to figure
out? Oh, that you're trying to talk about, right? The Guilty?
I think so.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
So okay. Here's the thing. There is a witness against the mob who goes into protective custody, and this U.S. Marshal has to transport this witness that the mob wants to kill to New York to testify in a trial. So the only way they can do that is to charter this little single propeller plane, and the pilot gets in and the three of them take off. Only what you find out in the trailer that the pilot, played by Mark Wahlberg, is actually an assassin sent by the mob to kill the witness, and everything goes crazy in this plane. So in the trailer, they take down Mark Wahlberg and handcuff him up. But the problem is neither the U.S. Marshal nor the witness know how to fly a plane. And like one of the scenes in the trailer is like, there's all these emergency lights going on, blah, 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 and then you see Mark Wahlberg handcuffed. You need a pilot, which was kind of funny. I gotta say, this is another one that if I just read it on paper, it sounds kind of dumb, but the trailer for me was really compelling. And I am now very interested in seeing this one. What did you think about
it? I am too. I know some people are calling out, oh, what about the more recent plane disasters that have been happening? But they were in a really old plane in this trailer, right?
Like an old single propeller. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I always support Michelle Dockery. I want her to do really well. And I love that she's in this role. I'm curious as well as they're going to keep everything on that plane.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
It looks like the bulk of the
movie. There are some shots in the trailer that take place in front of a courthouse.
But they weren't in there.
Most of this movie, like 95% of the trailer was on this little plane, in this one little plane. So,
There's also factors that we saw in the trailer. We saw some military.
Yeah.
Military.
At some point, two fighter jets fly alongside of the little plane, which makes me think the mob told the military that, oh, that little plane is going to crash into a government building. Or
right,
something.
Right. So there's going to be a lot of mind games in this movie.
So, yeah, it looks really interesting. I knew nothing about it going into it, and I thought it looked pretty cool. All right. What was next up?
Shadow Force.
Okay.
The greatest Christmas pageant ever.
The greatest. Okay. Shadow Force wins the award for worst title at CinemaCon. Dumb title. It's a cross between Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Spy Kids, and Mark Wahlberg just did a Netflix action film where he had to tell his kids, "I'm actually a government secret agent," or something like that.
What it's called.
So you got Omar Sy. Mm-hmm. Who is like an incredible, like became a super mega international star with that one French show that he does. I'm forgetting the name of it. And who is the lead?
Is it Kerry Washington?
Kerry Washington, who I love, Kerry Washington. Oh, yeah. Mark Strong is in it. Always love Mark Strong. The basic idea of it is, so Kerry Washington and Omar are a married couple and they worked for a top secret government black ops outfit, but they left and they're not supposed to leave. So they, and so they've been on the run and now they have a family. Only Mark Strong, the head of that division, has now tracked them down. And so they're on the run with their family and trying to stay ahead of all that kind of stuff. And this is the kind of movie that kind of usually, you know, tickles my privates and I kind of like, but I don't know why, but
you like that, huh? Tyler liked that over here. Tyler just loved that right here.
Tyler liked that one.
He thinks he thinks Seinfeld just talked right now.
I'll be honest with you. I was kind of bored with the trailer. It's hard. You put in a bunch of stars that I really like in an action kind of film. It's hard to bore me. And I was quite frankly kind of bored with it. Mm-hmm. Especially when Mark Strong goes, our covert operation, also known as
this is where
Shadow Force.
Yeah.
Really?
This is where I think like they're going in the like some genre, like way too hard, way too many. Yeah. I was kind of full at that point after seeing Dave Bautista's well, we hadn't seen what we're going to talk about soon.
Yes.
But it's just like one of those things where it's like, okay, it's going to make its money in this first weekend, whatever it's going to make.
Yeah.
And then it's going to just...
And who knows? Maybe the movie will be great. I mean, we've seen a lot of great movies with bad trailers, and maybe it'll be great.
But I was full. I was full at this point in the presentation. I was like, I don't need any more.
Well, we're only halfway through the presentation at that point. So
I was full already.
What's next?
Aziz Ansari.
Yes.
Good Fortune.
Okay. I'm going to go out right now and say, I know we had the Joker trailer. Good Fortune with Seth Rogen, Aziz Ansari, who wrote and directed the film, Keanu Reeves, Kiki
Palmer.
It might be the best trailer of CinemaCon to me. Won't be to everybody. This movie looks fantastic. And as first of all, Aziz Ansari comes out on stage with the head of Lionsgate, right? The head of Lionsgate's already, I think his name was Richard.
Yeah.
I might be wrong, but let's say the head of Lionsgate's name is Richard. And Aziz Ansari comes and goes, hey, everybody. No, it's not Henry Cavill in brown face. It's actually me, Aziz Ansari. He goes, actually, that's what Richard calls me. He calls me his little brown Cavill. And he goes, that's very inappropriate, Richard. You shouldn't call me that. And he says, Aziz Ansari comes out, takes the mic and just had everybody in stitches. He was like really, really funny. And then they show the trailer for Good Omens. So here's the basic gist, or for Good Fortune, I mean.
Yeah.
Here's the basic premise of this movie. Aziz Ansari is just this regular guy, does gig work and stuff like that, really struggles to make ends meet, has no real direction in his life. And Keanu Reeves plays an angel who...
Gabriel.
Mm-hmm. Not the angel Gabriel, right. But his name is Gabriel. And he's a low-ranking angel. And he's supposed to help people out. And he's like, I need to find somebody that I need to help them find their purpose or find their meaning. And so Aziz Ansari goes and does some gig work for this really super rich guy, Seth Rogen. And Gabriel has this idea because Aziz hates his life. He says, I'm going to show you that having all that money doesn't solve your problems. So he switches them. So Aziz Ansari wakes up and he's living Seth Rogen's life. And the great line of the trailer is Gabriel talking to his boss angel, played by Michelle Yeoh.
Sandra Oh.
We just saw Michelle Yeoh in another presentation, yeah. Played by Sandra Oh. And he says, I wanted to show him that money won't solve all his problems. And Sandra Oh says, and? Turns out money solved most of his problems. And the movie looks so good.
It does.
It looks so good. And I couldn't be happier for Aziz Ansari. Because, you know, he just had that really raw deal where he was making his dream project. And then halfway through making it, Bill Murray got into a lot of trouble. Yeah. And the studio pulled the plug on his whole film. It's so good to see him get another shot at it with this. And it looks fantastic. What do you think?
Also, on the back half of the trailer, we learned that since Keanu made this mistake, he lost his wings.
Oh, yeah. He loses his wings.
So then it's a tale of redemption for Keanu, too. I love the fact that Keanu, he described his angel powers as being the ones where if someone's choking on something, like he'll he's the one, he's the angel that like makes sure that the person doesn't choke on their, their chicken bone.
I usually help people who are choking in restaurants.
Or find a cat in a tree or whatever.
Or I help people, I help correct people who are texting while driving. That's what he's the angel of. He's like a low-level angel.
So low level, he tried to go a little bit above his pay grade or whatever you call it.
And bad things happen.
Yeah, and it's a story about not only Aziz, but I think we're going to learn something on Keanu's side.
Well, and Seth Rogen's character.
There's going to be a great message at the end of this movie. For sure. You can tell it's going to be one of those ones where it's going to be either the sleeper hit of the year, or just one of those really nice movies that we all like seeing.
All right. So that was A Good Fortune. It was wonderful. Can't wait for them to drop this trailer. I'll like for you guys to see it.
Surprise. We didn't hear anything about that movie.
All right. So what's next?
Well, speaking of Keanu Reeves, Ballerina.
They showed us a trailer for Ballerina. Even though the movie doesn't come out for over a year, they came out and said, you know, we decided we wanted to put more big action set pieces into it that they didn't have the money for originally. And then I guess Lionsgate was liking the way it was coming around so much, they gave them more money to do more stuff. They pushed the movie a year and they showed us the trailer for the Ballerina. It looks really good.
It's supposed to take place in between John Wick 3 and John Wick 4.
Right. So that's when the movie takes place. And so obviously it's very heavy on Ana de Armas. And so she is kind of like Furiosa in a way that she got into this life to seek vengeance on those who wronged her as a child. And she becomes kind of mythical. So at one point in the trailer, she actually shows up at the Continental. And this movie was shot when
Lance
was still alive. So Lance is in it.
And it's that little part where he says, Welcome
to the Continental.
Oh my God, it's
so good. And of course, then he goes in and what's the guy's name?
Shane.
But what's the character's name again?
I don't know. But the main
guys in the live chat.
The head honcho.
The one who runs the continental.
Yeah, Ian. That's his real name.
Ian McShane. But what's the character's name? Guys in live chat, helps out.
His name was Shane.
Ian. Winston. Thank you. The first person to say Winston was Scott Logan, and Nicole Blake also did as well. So Winston's in it, which is cool because she goes and checks in at the Continental at some point.
A real short haired, younger looking Winston.
And then later on, I know a lot of people were asking me, do they show Keanu Reeves? Yes, they show Keanu Reeves. Because at some point she's at this train station and all you see is a close-up of the steps of the train and you see these classic John Wick slick black shoes walking down and you just hear Ana de Armas say, you're him. You're the Baba Yaga. And then the camera pans up and it's John Wick.
And I screamed like a little man child. I did. I was maybe a little high.
He might have taken a couple of edibles before the presentation. So the show, now I don't think the trailer makes it seem like John Wick isn't going to be in the movie much. I think John Wick appears in it to really anchor the audience that this is the world of John Wick. Mm-hmm. That's why they show The Continental. That's why they show Wick. It was good. Some of the action stuff they showed was great. It's got all the John Wick feel and vibe of it.
And that part also shows you that they have multiple movies in mind with this
They want to make this a huge IP.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I appreciate about the whole presentation overall. Their message was, we asked the fans, like, what are you looking for in the movies that we release? And they talked about this group of fans that they've talked to that just say, we want to know more about the stories you've already told us. And that being John Wick, like there's a whole universe of things they could do with this. And I think Ballerina is just the beginning.
And the guy say one of the things he's asked about the most is John Wick's fate. And so he said he was happy that this movie took place in between 3 and 4. So he doesn't have to answer that question.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Black Bono Lalas is asking, will they drop the trailer? Not anytime soon. This movie doesn't come out for over a year. So they're not going to show they're not going to drop the trailer for this publicly, probably for a long time, but just trust us. It looked really good. Mm-hmm. It looked really, really good. Okay. So that was
Ballerina.
What was next?
One more. Michael.
Okay. This was a surprise, which is kind of funny because last night I texted a buddy of mine who normally comes to CinemaCon with Lionsgate. So I gave him a quick call last night to say, hey, are you here in Vegas? Are you here at Lionsgate? He goes, no, I'm actually on the set of Michael. I'm working on the new Michael Jackson biopic. I'm like, okay, cool. You go do your thing. They showed us, they put together a sizzle trailer for Michael. Now, look, I will come out and admit that I've said for years that I don't think it's a good idea to make a Michael Jackson biopic. It's just going to divide people. Like, there's going to be a lot of people who think you should never mention anything about the allegations against him because it was all bullshit. And then you're going to get the other people who's like, totally believe the allegations against him. And if you don't make the movie about the allegations, then you're just whatevering it. So I always thought it was going to be really, really problematic. And it will be problematic when the movie comes out. That being said, the producer of the film comes out and talks about Antoine Fuqua, who's directing, who's a great director. You know, he's been in my studio before. I love the guy. I think he's a great filmmaker. This looked fantastic. Like, it's the same producer as Bohemian Rhapsody. So it really did have a Bohemian Rhapsody feel. And I loved that movie. But it felt larger than life. It felt really epic. It feels like it spans a lot of time. Mm-hmm. They did say it's a very long movie. They didn't say how long. The producer just joked that's going to be a long movie. I'm guessing 2 hours, 45 minutes, maybe 3 hours.
Yeah.
But the stuff they showed us looked incredible. Like, it looked like...
They're tackling everything.
I'll tell you what, it looked like an Oscar film.
They're tackling everything. They're not... Yeah. They mentioned the... Like, at least with the wording on the trailer or what they showed us, they did mention the controversy.
Mm-hmm.
They're acknowledging it.
They acknowledged that he had controversy.
Yeah.
They didn't say what the controversy was.
Right.
It'll be interesting.
But it's not like they're like... They mentioned it. That's one thing. I think they're tackling everything. What stood out to me... was just the music.
Like, a lot of music. They played a lot of the music, like a big
dancing
thing, like showing Jackson. I forget the actor's name who's playing Michael, but it's Michael Jackson's nephew.
Jafar Jackson.
He sounds like Michael. Yeah. I mean, talking.
He moves like Michael.
He moves like Michael. They did this big long piece in it of Michael singing, well, Jafar as Michael singing Man in the Mirror.
Well, that was the main song. So that should kind of tell you, I mean, that song itself, using that song for this trailer, could tell you a lot about what they're planning to do with this movie.
They said they're using over 30 of Michael Jackson's songs.
They said over 30 of Michael's songs, going from his earliest days with the Jackson 5 all the way up for the rest of his career. And it looked really, really, really good. I don't know when they're going to show this or drop any trailer. They said they put this trailer together just for CinemaCon.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're going to show it to the public or not, but I'm really excited to see the movie now. It looks great. So for me, the best thing out of the Lionsgate presentation was
Good Fortune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, In the Gray looks great. Ministry of Evangelical Warfare looks great. The Crow looks better than people are giving it credit for.
Yeah.
Killer's Game looks fun. Flight Risk looks really interesting. But Good Fortune, Ballerina, and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
I think those were the big three for the Lionsgate presentation. Okay. Now that we're down through the Lionsgate presentation, let's go on and talk about the one we just got out of, which was the Universal presentation. So after Lionsgate, this morning it was Universal. And what did we have up first with Universal?
If anyone was wondering, there's going to be a new Bridget Jones movie.
Oh, yeah. They announced a Bridget Jones Diary 3. And don't get me wrong. I am not a Bridget Jones hater.
Watch the super chats come in right now.
But I was like,
oh, my God.
Why? Why a Bridget Jones 3? Really? Okay, but sure.
Everyone loves BJs.
Oh.
That's all I can think of. That's the tagline. Everyone loves a BJ. Maybe even a couple BJs. JT?
How do you move on from that? Okay, I got it.
Okay, let's go.
So one of the really interesting things that one of the Universal executives pointed out when they came out on stage is that, like, at Universal, they're committed to artistic excellence and financial success. Because, of course, it's a business, right? They're committed to both. And they say, you know, our audiences, he said, this year, two of the top three box office films were Universal films.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of the top grossing movies of the year worldwide were original films. And he said, we're committed, because, you know, there's often, I always have this discussion with people. Every once in a while, you get somebody who wants to pretend like they think they sound smart or intellectual by saying, oh, Hollywood doesn't make anything original anymore. And like, I always tell people, it's like, you do realize that more original film is made today than in any other time in Hollywood history. And one of the stats that the guy from Universal came out and said, he goes, of the 20 films we're releasing this year, they're releasing 20. That number shocked me. Mm-hmm. He said, of the 20 films we're releasing this year, 75% of them are original films. And I just, again, that just kind of highlights there is loads and loads and loads of great original films being made. It's just that the audience doesn't normally pay as much attention to them as we do to the franchises. And so I was happy to hear them talk about that a little bit. Anyway, let's get on to the movies that they discussed, what they have.
All right. So they did mention that Mario Brothers will have another movie in 2026.
Right, which we all knew about already.
And then they go into Despicable Me 4, DM4.
So they bring out, I can't remember how to say the guy's last name, Makashakalai.
Dan.
Yeah, the guy who's, what's his last name?
Melodrani?
I think you're missing a syllable in there.
Yeah.
Melodramatic.
Yeah, there's like seven syllables. And he's the guy who's the founder, creator, and CEO of Illumination. So he comes out and they talk about Despicable Me 4. And then they showed us like a 10-minute scene from the movie. And it looks wonderful.
Of course.
They showed us this full time. There, you know, in the trailer that came out, there's that scene where they're trying to fight off the honey badger. So they showed us basically the full 10-minute scene that surrounds that. And it was great. It was really good. It felt like a good.
I freaking love the Minions. I love Gru. I love that Gru has a baby. I'm down. I love all of the Despicable Me. So
I haven't seen any of them, so I can't really say.
The one thing that did throw me off a little bit was the head of Illumination constantly referred to Despicable Me 4 simply as DM4.
I know.
DM4. Like he's trying to make it a thing. Stop trying to make it a thing.
DM. His initials is DM.
Is it?
Yeah.
I know his first name is, or his last, no, his first name is Chris.
Oh, I thought it was, the last name started with M, I thought it was.
He's the original CM Punk.
Right, okay.
Oh, and this one too, Steve Carell is playing alongside Will Ferrell.
Oh yeah, Will Ferrell's the voice of the villain in the film. So you've got Anchorman and Brick, Ron Burgundy and Brick back together again, which is going to be great. So it looked wonderful. It looked really, really good, the scene they showed us.
Was the big thing from Illumination. Unfortunately, no Shrek announcements. Now moving on.
Sorry, Taylor. No Shrek announcements.
Yeah.
Moving on to Twisters.
Yes.
Oh, damn. 4DX is the way to go with this movie.
We are taking the ride.
So they bring out on stage Glenn Powell and Ramos.
Right, Anthony
and who's
Ramos.
The girl?
I don't know. She's gorgeous, though.
Yeah, she's beautiful, but but I can't remember. So the three main stars of the movie come out on stage, and they do this little act, which is actually pretty funny, where they bring up giant fans and like have debris flying at them. It's like, this is what it was like working on the movie. It was a nice little presentation they give. But then they showed us like this extended 6-7 minute long sizzle reel of Twisters. And
parts of which were unfinished. They said it was still work in progress.
Still work in progress.
That still looked good to me.
But like that one scene where they're standing in the street and the truck is flying towards them, that's clear. That was not a finished shot.
Yeah.
But listen, I have a love-hate relationship with like some natural disaster movies. Like, for instance, the Rock movie with the earthquake.
San Andreas,
right? Like, how is the Rock going to punch an earthquake, right? Or something like that. It's like, how do you fight? And I like the original Twister, I do. But it's like, how do you fight tornadoes? This looks really kind of interesting. They talked about how they actually spent years consulting with real weather scientists and, like, scoured real footage of tornadoes. And they actually took some, like homemade YouTube tornado footage and took it and then superimposed it into their film to make it feel as legit and real as possible. And I'll tell you what, they made it feel exciting and thrilling. And look, we all knew it from Top Gun Maverick, Glenn Powell is going to be an A-list Hollywood leading man
this guy,
for the next 15, 20 years.
The part he plays in this film is perfect for him.
Yeah,
the cowboy who chases tornadoes without any of the science, but just goes by experience. And he has a truck that clamps itself down, and he rides that tornado until it passes. He is perfect for this part. He is the cowboy we've been waiting for. I was so happy when they gave him that role.
Oh, by the way, Ares in the live chat saying they forgot the cows. Oh, no. The cow made an appearance in the presentation.
Yeah. Yes, it did.
Flying cow makes, I won't tell you how right now, but a flying cow makes appearance in the presentation. Yeah, and there's like even...
Oh, they did mention how this film was one of the only films that I know so far that directly acknowledged that they were affected by the strike. Oh. They were filming and they had to stop.
Right.
And they finished the film in the
Wicked
winter.
Wicked did too.
Oh, they
Wicked
did too.
Yeah. Okay. But they talked about how we worked for so long on this and the strike happened. We were off work and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that came up a lot.
Fun little group of actors that looked like they had a ball.
Sign me up. This made me more excited to see Twister. So the presentation was pretty good. And Glenn Powell, if we didn't already know, going to be a major movie star for a long time.
And I'm definitely pushing us to see it in one of those 4DX theaters.
D-Box.
I've still never been to a 4DX.
This is the one.
These guys have. I have not.
This is the one.
All right.
So just two quick announcements that there will be sequels to Five Nights at Freddy's and Megan.
Yep. So they made that official today. Yep.
Then Wolfman.
Oh, right. So we all know, we've talked about, they're in production of Wolfman right now, and they said they're only like a few weeks into production, so they only had like a 1 minute thing they could show us.
Yeah, it looked professional though, but it looked like a real trailer.
It's from the same director who did that, The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss, which was so good.
So underrated.
Like that movie, they made that movie, that Invisible Man movie, I still have to freaking pinch my, they made that movie for $8 million. That Invisible Man movie. Mm-hmm. And it's great. And it made like almost $120 million worldwide. Not bad. So they got the same director to do Wolfman. And it does not look like your stereotypical werewolf movie. It looks more personal, a little bit more terrifying. And like, okay, so here's the basic idea. They're in this house.
And this
little girl's asking her daddy, are we going to die? He goes, no, we're not going to die. I'm going to protect you. That's my job, to protect you. Like, we got to keep the bad things outside. But then you hear the dad's voice goes, but what if the bad things are already inside? And you realize the dad has been infected and he's going to turn into a werewolf and she's in the house with his daughter. And
oh,
like,
no.
What do they think was going to happen? It looked great. Yeah. They're only like halfway through doing it. I think it's Lee Whannell was the director. Right? They're only about halfway through doing it. But the little footage they showed us looked really great. So I am excited for Wolfman.
I can't wait to see the design of him.
What he looks like.
They really teased it, but we didn't get a full look at it. We'll wait for that.
Okay, that was Wolfman. What was next?
Speak No Evil.
Okay, staying on the creepy as hell thing.
What's the actor's name again?
Professor X?
McAvoy.
Yeah. James McAvoy.
There we go.
I was confused by this trailer. I'm going to start off by saying that, but go ahead, John.
So it also stars Scoot McNairy and the girl from The Last Terminator, Mackenzie Davis. Yeah, Davis.
Oh, yeah, from The Martian.
So the basic thing is this. Yes. You've got James McAvoy and his wife that seem like this great, wonderful couple, and they meet another couple on vacation, Scoot McNairy and Mackenzie Davis.
Both
couples have kids. And James,
it sounds like the trailer did drop.
They did drop the trailer for this one.
Yeah.
Go watch the trailer. It's actually pretty cool because like the director comes out and says, what happens when you have this fun, wonderful, cool guy who is also none of those things? And it's like, okay, yeah, this guy, James McAvoy, is such a great director. Is it just me or is he getting more and more buff?
He's getting more buff.
Like he's looking swole, like really big.
He got crazy eyes too.
He's got the crazy eyes.
Yeah.
So, and his kid is a mute. His kid can't speak. And the kid is constantly trying to scream, mm-hmm. but can't. And that's seeing a child trying to scream and can't. It's just a chilling, chilling visual.
Yeah.
So that trailer is out there. Go check it out. I mean, you could argue that this trailer probably shows most of the movie. And maybe it does. but I don't care. Like, it's a really good trailer, and it makes me want to see the movie, even if that is basically the movie.
I'm excited to see James McAvoy transform through the movie, because you know he's going to go from a very trusting character to this crazy person, and I just love the way he acts, so I can't wait to see him do that.
All right. What was next up?
Back to Black. Amy Winehouse was just a mention of it.
Right. So I have to admit something. I know there was an Amy Winehouse.
Oh, no, they did show a trailer.
Yeah, they did. There was an Amy Winehouse documentary out recently.
I watched it.
Did you?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was, it's just sad.
It's just sad?
You know what I mean? You get, like, it's just sad that when she passed away, it was just, like, so abrupt. It was like, you know, she went to her hotel room and the bodyguard didn't know why she wasn't coming out. And then you guys, if you've seen the pictures of her, how they found her,
she just
looked like she was just sleeping. Like, you know, just like, just chilling, whatever. It's one of those things. It's a sad story because you never want an artist to be introduced to the stuff that actually kills a lot of the artists, you know, like the drugs, like that life that they seem to not be able to handle, like by them mentally or whatever, that it's too much for them. I've seen the documentary, so I'm not really interested in seeing this. I got firsthand of, because I never really listened to her music, but I do respect what she did.
And see, that's the thing for me. I can't tell you one Amy Winehouse song.
Rehab. Is
it her? I don't know.
That song. I know that
I'm
song.
I'm saying, like, I was
the rehab song.
I think sadly she was not around long enough for, because she went far too young, for me to actually know anything. So I don't really feel any compulsion to see this.
But I will say, there's some director or someone that felt the need to tell the story.
Yeah.
So I hope everyone who does watch it, everyone who was a fan, enjoys what they see, or, you know, can celebrate her life through this movie, which is very important, I think, to a lot of people who are fans of her. So,
all right. So they show the trailer for that. And at least I'll say this. It didn't look like your stereotypical trailer, because when you look at things like Walk the Line or Bohemian Rhapsody or even Rocket Man, it's all kind of the same story template, right? Prodigy talent gets discovered, becomes superstar, becomes entrapped by all the vices that come along with it, that's leading to their own destruction, but by the end kind of have their own redemption. That's the same. That is the exact story path of all those music biographies I just mentioned, plus a bunch more. This didn't look like that. This looked like just like a woman finding her voice in the world. So it looked interesting. I'm saying I couldn't tell you any of her music. I don't feel particularly drawn to it, but it was a nice trailer, and I hope the movie turns out really well.
All right. Next.
What's next?
So this is kind of lumped into that part where they kind of just showed trailer after trailer, right? So then we got The Bike Riders.
Of course, The Bike Riders was supposed to come out last year. And then, was it Disney that dropped it?
Yeah, Disney dropped it.
Disney dropped it, and they didn't want it anymore.
Tom Hardy.
So it came off Tom Hardy, Austin Butler, not Jamie Comer.
Jodie
Comer. It looks really good. Now, I'm a Sons of Anarchy guy, so anything like this looks really interesting to me. But they dropped it, so then along comes Focus Features, which is a part of Universal. And Focus Features picks it up. So they showed us a new trailer for it that gives us a little bit more of the story and how it evolves and all that kind of stuff.
Which was a good thing.
It was really good.
Cause now I'm a little bit interested in it. It feels like it's a revenge. There's a slight revenge thing, right? In this movie that we saw, like, I think Austin Butler and Tom Hardy were in a bar and they're like, we don't serve your colors
You can't
wear those colors in here. So there's like a rivalry where I believe the other gang did something to Austin Butler's.
Yeah, put Austin Butler in the hospital.
Yeah.
So Austin Butler's motorcycle club comes and burns the bar down where it happened. Yeah. And there's this great scene with that, really, because the movie is also supposed to kind of talk about the evolution of how this motorcycle club became a gang and became a part of crime. Because as they went and burned down the bar that this other bike gang would go to, and where Austin Butler got beaten up and hospitalized, and they burned the bar down, they're hanging out there watching it burn. All the police and the, like, there's a crowd gather around watching now, and the police show up. And one of the other biker members says to Tom Hardy, "We need to get out of here because the cops are here." And then Tom Hardy, just so cool, she goes, "No, we don't. Look at them. Look at the cops. They're afraid of us." And that was the line, like, showing that trance. That's probably the moment in this movie that things change for this bike gang. And look, I was interested in the movie before. With this new promo piece they put together, it looks really good to me now. So I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right,
so that was the Bike Riders.
Conclave. This with Ralph Fiennes?
Ralph Fiennes, John Lithgow, mm-hmm. Stanley Tucci, mm-hmm. directed by the director of All Quiet on the Western Front. Okay. The Conclave is about the process that goes, like, the top secretive process that they go through at the Vatican when the Pope dies,
yeah.
and selecting a new Pope.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Ralph Fiennes is a cardinal who's put in charge of that process. And, you know, they sequester all the cardinals in the Vatican, and there's a whole bunch of Game of Thrones shit going on mm-hmm. behind the scenes. And look, I was watching this trailer and this promo piece, and I'm like, this looks super intense, super thrilling. I'm really excited watching it. And then they mentioned from the director of All Quiet on the Western Front. And I went, that's all you need. This is going to, and you've got the greatest actor in the world who doesn't have an Academy Award, Ralph Fiennes, leading the movie. Looks so good in it. I don't think the Conclave is going to do well at the box office.
No.
I really don't.
Yeah.
They should call it Pope.
But I'm going to be there. I cannot wait to see this movie. I'm super excited. What do you think
Me
about
too. The trailer? I just, this is something that we'll never know really the process which happens when this event happens. But in our lifetime, I think we've lost two popes, or at least my lifetime.
Yeah. Pope John Paul II and, Pope.
I can't remember.
Well, though. Pope Benedict succeeded John Paul II, right? And then he gave up. He relinquished it. And then Pope Francis took over, I think it was.
Yeah. So anyway. This whole process is so secretive that I love the movie is going to try to shed some light on what actually goes down. Obviously, it's going to be an extreme version of whatever actually happens. But I'm not surprised that there would be this type of political aspect to trying to select who the next pope is going to be, and then there's going to be the drama layered on top of it.
So. But again, Ralph Fiennes,
yeah,
John Lithgow, Stanley Tucci. Done. I'm there. This thing looks great. I don't know if they're going to drop the trailer, if they have dropped the trailer, but make sure you check it out when you get a chance. All right, what's next?
Nosferatu.
Oh!
The new Robert Eggers, the director who gave us such mind fucks as The Lighthouse, The Witch. I love his film, The Northman, with another Skarsgård. This guy is a fascinating, interesting, very artistic director. I really, really, even I still don't know what the fuck The Lighthouse was. Yeah. I still don't know what that was. I saw it twice. I still have no idea what that was. But I love that he makes these kinds of movies. And so, like, the head of the studio came out and said, so they're working on Nosferatu right now. He goes, believe me, this is not your dad's Dracula. This is not your dad's Nosferatu. Yeah. And it definitely has all the DNA of a Robert Eggers film. It doesn't really give you much. Like, really, the footage they showed us was, like, glimpses of things, right?
But the glimpses they showed us tell you that this is going to be a gruesome movie.
I mean, it's a Robert Eggers film.
Yeah, right? I can't. Did they show us a full look of Nosferatu?
I don't think they did.
They just saw the back.
Just the back. Dark silhouette.
That he's coming.
We didn't actually. Yeah.
Whole thing. He's coming.
He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Like all
coming.
This thing is the big thing. He's coming. He's coming. Who's coming? Nosferatu.
Bridget Jones 3.
Yeah. Bridget Jones 3 is coming.
BJ.
BJ's for all.
I love that. What's his name is in this Green Goblin.
Well, Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
He makes a habit of showing. Like he was in. I don't think Willem Dafoe wasn't in The Witch, but he was definitely in The Lighthouse, obviously.
Yeah.
He's a Robert Eggers.
Yeah, he was in The Northman.
Alumni.
Yeah, so he's a Robert Eggers guy.
Okay.
So I
want to see more.
I'm interested in seeing this.
Yeah, I want to see more.
Oh, is it filmed in black and white?
No, it was color. It's in color.
So. No, that's not.
Okay, next. We got two more. The Wild Robot.
Okay. They dropped the trailer for The Wild Robot a little bit ago. And it's literally moving.
Yeah.
It's a moving trailer. Like, it looks wonderful. So the director and Lupita Nyong'o come out on stage to talk more about it. And they really set it up. You know, this robot it's a world that's a little bit more futuristic than the one we live in. But her character, her robot, it crashes on this uninhabited island where there's nothing but wildlife. And as a robot, she's programmed to find a task and then fulfill the task. But she's only surrounded by animals. And so as you can kind of guess from the trailer, she stumbles upon this like goose egg and it hatches. And this young goose, Gosling, thinks she's her mother, thinks the robot's her mother. And so that becomes her task because she's told by other animals by fall to survive, Gosling has to fly away, has to migrate with the rest of the geese if it's going to survive. So her task is now raise this Gosling to adulthood, well, you know, by its age standards, to the point that it's going to be able to fly away when it needs to fly away. Mm-hmm. And they showed us a big extended thing of it. And it looks wonderful. I mean, you got emotional watching it.
Of course. I love the addition of the storyline in this trailer. That was kind of an extended version of the one you had shown me. And I think everyone's like, we're going to cry. Yeah. Crying over the freaking trailer.
There's going to be some lessons we're going to learn.
Absolutely.
We're going to love things. We're going to be
appreciate
sad about
life.
Yeah.
I like the whole robot war that happens that I didn't know was going to take place.
Which is
part of it too.
Yeah, it's going to piss me off that part because it's like it feels like she's already adapted to her environment and they're trying to put her back.
This great scene where a bunch of robots show up and they say
she's
to her,
fighting to stay
you
there.
Are ordered to return home. And then she stands back and she says, I am home. And then the camera widens out and she's surrounded by her animals and stuff like that. And it looks like a big fight's about to ensue or something.
And then they're in the beginning of the trailer too. I just want to point out, because I never saw the trailer before today. I didn't
watch. You're the one who showed me the trailer.
No, I was talking about our robot dreams.
Oh, the one with the dog.
The other one with robot the dog and the robot.
Oh, maybe it was Jonathan that showed me
this. So this is the first time I've seen it. But there's this cute part where she's trying to figure out what she needs to do. And I think she pulls out like porcupine thing from the coyote, the fox's nose. This movie is going to be a heart jerker, I think.
Yeah, looks wonderful. Loved what we saw and can't wait to see it. It's going to be DreamWorks' next big hit, I think. It's going to be really good. All right, and there was one more.
Oh,
just one more.
The beauty.
Wicked.
Wicked, wicked. So they bring out the producer and John M. Chu, who's like winning the CinemaCon Filmmaker Award this year.
Yeah.
And they bring, of course, he did Crazy Rich Asians as well. And so they bring him out to talk about how, like, John M. Chu was there in 2003 when they were doing the dress rehearsals for the first Wicked stage production, which is a really wild full circle moment for him that now he's directing this movie. And Jeff Goldblum came out. First of all, they brought up the wizard.
Yeah.
From the movie, talking to the CinemaCon attendees. And then so they did that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Goldblum, who does the voice of the wizard, plays the wizard. He came out on stage in this wild outfit and he was charming and great and wonderful. And then John M. Chu and the producer were out there. And then they brought out the two stars, who is Ariana Grande. And who's the other girl?
Cynthia Erivo.
There you go.
Cynthia Erivo. Thank you. They brought them out on stage. And they just talked about their journey playing. What is the name of the Wicked Witch?
Alphaba,
which is a really odd name.
And
but
Galinda,
and Alphaba, and they came on stage. You tell those two are just probably best friends for life now.
I think so, for sure.
And they just talked about the process of making the movies. They talked a lot about how a lot of the stuff you see in this movie is practical effects. They built sets. I mean, last year they talked about how they literally brought in well over 1 million kind of flowers to create these hillsides of flowers, and they constructed all the sets, and a lot of what we're going to see in the movie is all practical. and all that kind of stuff. And then they said, now we have a new extended look at Wicked for you. And by the way, Taylor tells me that they did say this last year. I don't remember this. They're doing it in two movies. I don't remember hearing that, but they said they're doing Wicked in two movies. So there's going to be Wicked that comes out. Then I guess there's going to be a Wicked Part 2 in 2025, mm-hmm. I suppose. So they're doing it as two movies, which has Anne confounded because she's like seen Wicked several times. She's like, where do you split this?
Yeah.
But okay, they're doing it in two. And then they showed the footage. What did you think about, like, how long was it, do you think? How was the footage they showed us?
I got to say at least a good 8 minutes. 7 minutes. 8 minutes.
Yeah. What did you think about it?
Well, I...
Because you're a big Wicked fan.
Yeah, I am. I just think they cast this perfectly. Already you could see it in the trailer. We were talking about Ariana is the perfect Glinda. Not just because of who she is as like the character, but I think how she presents herself outside of this role. And I think it will be an opportunity for her to showcase her acting a little bit more because people forget that she is an actress. She used to do Disney stuff. So, I think that's going to be great. I think they are going to play well together. I think the set pieces looked amazing and you hear little snippets of the music that everybody knows, and has grown to love. Gravity. They play that in the trailer too. I don't know what else to say, except I can't wait. I'm a little bit bummed that they are cutting it into two movies.
I was speechless after seeing this,
yeah,
to be honest. Like, there's like, just from the trailer, what we saw, every now and then there's a movie that will encapsulate cinema in general, a whole cinema. This thing has colors, visuals, sound. It looks like it's going to be one of those things that has everything together, you know, in one
package. By the way, like, just a couple comments being made. Somebody said, I heard now they're doing three parts. Maybe, but we just saw the head of the studio.
What's happening?
We just saw the head of the studio and the producer tell us two parts. Also, like
Nickelodeon, not the an hour sorry ago. For Ariana.
Yeah. We just literally had the head of the studio come on stage and tell us it was two parts. Somebody else is saying, I heard this was a prequel. I thought I remember seeing Dorothy in the trailer. There is no Dorothy in the trailer. This is a very early prequel about how Glinda, the Good Witch, mm-hmm. and the Wicked Witch of the West got to where they were. And they were best of friends at one point, sisters even. Mm-hmm. So this is probably long before Dorothy was born. So I don't think you're going to see, there's no Dorothy in the movie from what I know, right? There's no Dorothy in Wicked, right?
No.
Yeah, so.
They don't mention her, I don't think. I'm looking at Taylor like.
No, there's no. Look, the dumbest comment of the day, often the dumbest comment of the day is a comment I make. This time it's our friend Kevin Davis, who says, this film is going to flop at the box office. I will bet you, Kevin, any amount of money that you want to put on that wager. This movie is going to make a shit ton of money. I'm not saying it's going to be a $1 billion film, but this movie is going to make a shit ton of money. And if you don't know that, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if it's going to make 700 million, 900 million, whatever, but it's going to make a lot of money. This movie is definitely going to make a hell of a lot of money because this is a mega pop. Like, forget Wizard of Oz. Forget Wizard of Oz. Wicked itself is a mega popular, like one of the biggest Broadway hits ever. And
globally too.
Globally. And then you add on top of that, the whole Wizard of Oddness of it. This thing is going to make, this is a global phenomenon, Wicked. And I understand, Kevin, because I'm like this sometimes myself too. Like, it's not in my circles, right? But we need to remember that our individual circles are this big compared to the global audience, and Wicked is a massive phenomenon.
And one more thing to add, Universal, it has some big money hungry like films. Like they have Jurassic, they have Fast, mm-hmm. they have all those, and this is the movie that they're holding up.
Oh,
and
they're leaning,
saying everyone watch
hard.
This.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is their number one priority right now. It's going to make
and it fun. Was it was the headline of their presentation, and they know why, because this is going to be their big crown jewel. This is going to be their big crown jewel of the year, and
folks,
they know
are
it
calling out, look, Dorothy is in the second half
She is? I never saw the stage play.
I don't know how much they're going to promote that, because it just feels like they want Elphaba and Glinda to be the main characters that drive this movie home. So,
see, having never seen Wicked, I assume, like, because Glinda looks like she's really young compared to the version we see in the movie Wizard of Oz. So I just assume this movie takes place like 40 years before the events of Wizard of Oz. So, I mean, I've never seen the Wicked stage play, so I don't know. I've never cared about Wicked. I've never given two squirts of urine about it. But what the presentation last year made me go, okay, I see you. And now this presentation has me drooling to see this movie. Like, I cannot wait to see this thing. So
one last question I have. Is Wicked supposed to give you, like, the side of the witch, right? Mm-hmm. To make you understand why she becomes what she does?
I think that's part of it, yeah.
That's okay.
Because Elphaba seems like she's just a nice girl.
This movie is going to be...
what leads her to becoming the Wicked Witch.
Okay.
And so it's going to be interesting to see. And that was the presentations today. That was Lionsgate, and that was
Universal.
Tomorrow, the final two. Ray's constipated.
Sorry.
The final two presentations.
What we're all here for.
Paramount Studios, yeah. And then the big one, Disney.
Oh.
And the reason Disney's the big one is all because of one thing, Deadpool. How much are they going to, what are they going to show us at Deadpool? How much are they going to show us? But again, at the Paramount presentation, I mean, we got some Transformers, probably like a lot of Transformers 1. We got Sonic.
Quiet Place.
Oh, yeah. New Quiet Place. I think they're going to talk a little bit about, it's now official, the sequel to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
Question. Why didn't we see anything from Abigail? Is that Paramount?
Because it comes out like
in a week. Probably because it's so close.
Yeah, it's still close coming out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's why they didn't do a lot on Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare either. Because it's like coming out in a week.
Okay, okay.
So there's no point in that really. But so we got some big stuff tomorrow. We will double them up again. So tomorrow evening, we will be doing another big recap of both the Paramount and the Disney presentations. And
hopefully a review of Deadpool versus Wolverine, the movie.
There are still people. who think we're going to get a full screening of Deadpool 3 tomorrow. For the record, I am not one of them. But I think we're going to see a lot of Deadpool. I think they're going to show, because Disney has a tendency of not showing like 8 to 10 minute things. They have a tendency of showing like 20 to 30 minute.
That's true.
Pieces of footage.
And let's not forget, Disney.
You're not even in the shot.
Disney had a horrible presentation last year.
Terrible presentation.
I have a feeling they may want to make something up to us.
Yeah.
They don't have to. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I think hopefully they'll want to come out swinging now that Bob Iger is back in charge. Because back when Bob Iger was in charge, they used to do great presentations at CinemaCon. I know Bob Iger really likes CinemaCon. So hopefully they'll do something really. I know this. If they don't show us anything of Deadpool, I am going to be profoundly disappointed. I don't need them to show us the whole movie. They don't need to do full screening, but I will be profoundly disappointed. All right. With that down, guys, we're not going to go over the super chats are not open right now because they filled up really quick. So I actually had to turn off the super chats before we even started the stream because it filled up already. And I'm going to get over. We're going to start taking your questions in the live super chat as Ray and Ann are going to take off, probably go hang out downstairs a little bit more on Caesar's floor with Taylor. But I am going to be taking your questions here in just a moment. But first, before we do, we're going to hear from a sponsor of today's broadcast and what we're doing here. Our friends doing good work over at BetterHelp. Guys, we want to thank a sponsor of today's video, BetterHelp. Guys, it's a brand new year, and a lot of people are making New Year's resolutions, you know, things they want to change about themselves. But I've always believed that it's also equally as important to identify the things we're doing well and building on those. And therapy helps you find your strengths so you can ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes that really stick. I've always believed that nothing impacts our daily performance in our jobs, our hobbies, our relationships, like our mental health. And I've also said for a long time that it's about time that we stop just putting emphasis on on improving our physical health by getting out to the gym, but also by putting emphasis on improving our mental health as well. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you gotta do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So guys, celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/Campia today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Campia. And thank you to our friends at BetterHelp for sponsoring the John Campia Show, even while we're here in Vegas covering CinemaCon. All right, guys, I'm going to take some time here to take some of your questions that you guys sent in a little bit earlier. So let's get over to that right now. That's the wrong one. We're going to start off with this one. We're starting with James Wheeler. Let me see if I can just get this in frame a little bit. Is that the one I'm supposed to? Yes, this is the right one. Give me a second here. Sorry, we're not in studio. I'm just kind of doing this by myself on a laptop. All right. So James Wheeler is our first one up. And James Wheeler sends in a $20 super chat. Thank you, James, so much for that. And James writes, "Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a great time at CinemaCon." We are having a great time at CinemaCon. Thank you. "I know that this has nothing to do with the event, but were you able to watch Shogun last night? It's so good again. I still have not been able to." Ann and I are torn now because Shogun's our favorite show on TV right now. But we don't know if we should watch it tonight on the laptop or if we should wait till we get home on the weekend to watch it on a proper TV and everything. I just don't know. So we're kind of torn. But a lot of people keep writing to us going, "Oh my God, did you see the new episode of Shogun?" It's like, nope, haven't seen it yet. Very excited to though. And maybe we'll watch it tonight. Maybe we'll wait till we get home to see it. All right. Thanks for that, James. Next up, Damaris Love writes, I can't feel you seems to be the new quote for Marvel. If you know, you know." Well, that was the line from WandaVision, was it not? When she said, "I can't feel you." And was that in something else too? I can't remember exactly. But but I think that was the line they used in WandaVision. I think it was at any rate. And it was beautiful moment, totally beautiful moment when they did that, Damaris. All right, next up, Wesley Cunningham writes, one of two. "What's y'all's thoughts on the Now You See Me movies? Keep meaning to get around to them, but interest goes up and down. And after all this time, Lionsgate is making a third." Yeah, and they talked about that a little bit today at their press. They didn't show us anything. They just talked how they're making a Now You See Me 3. They're making a third. Cast excitedly announcing film dates and all that. There is a cult following. Is there a cult following that I'm not aware of? Worth a watch in your opinion? I'll be honest with you. I am not a big fan of the Now You See Me movies. I'm not. And I think part of the reason I'm not that into them is because, like, at its core, those movies are supposed to go into the magic of magic, right? In the real world. But when you watch Now You See Me, especially Now You See Me 2, as they're pulling off their illusions, they're doing stuff that couldn't be done. Even with all modern magic techniques, there's no way that could be done. Like, they do a lot of that would literally take sorcery, would literally take witchcraft to actually do. Like, they're doing things that aren't believable. Like, what they do in the movie, they couldn't have done that. Even the greatest illusion, even if you got David Copperfield and David Blaine to have a baby and it became a super magician, that baby would never be able to do that stuff. And so it loses something. So for instance, we just saw The Fall Guy, right? Which is a love letter to the art of stuntmen and stuntwomen in movies. But everything they do in that movie is real stunts. Everything done in that movie is real stunts, and that makes it feel so much more special. If they had done Now You See Me and they literally did it with using techniques that real illusionists could do and could pull off, with certain techniques, it would feel more viable. And instead it just felt like, okay, now you're just doing witchcraft in the movie and it loses. Anyway, I don't actually think that Now You See Me movies are all that good. I don't think they're terrible. Don't get me wrong. I don't think they're garbage or anything, but I've never been a big fan of them myself. Anyway, that was just me. All right. Thanks, Wesley. Next up, we've got Brandon who writes, did you watch the new episode of Shogun? Holy shit. No, I have not seen the new episode of Shogun yet. And I'm so excited to. I can't wait to watch it. All right. Next up, because normally I'm the one telling you guys about how great the show is. Now I got all you guys writing to me to tell me how great this new episode is. And I haven't seen it yet. All right. Tantalizing sends in a $30 super chat. Thank you, Tantalizing, for supporting us on that level, man. Greatly appreciated. And Tantalizing writes, hey, all. Hope CinemaCon is fun so far. It's really fun so far. I've been watching the show for a few years now. Thank you so much. And I love it. Have you seen the TV series White Collar? I never have. It ran from 2009 to 2014 and has Matt Bomer, one of my all-time favorite shows. You know, there's a couple of shows out there. What's the other guys, you know, I think it's on what there's another show that everybody's telling me I should watch. And it's kind of like The Suits, White Collar, kind of genre. Psych. That's it. Thank you, Carla. Carla says in live chat, Psych. Psych is another one. Like White Collar and Psych are both shows that really look appealing to me, but I just never got around to it. The same was true of Suits. Suits always looked appealing to me, but I never watched it until, you know, this past year when everybody watched it apparently. But Psych and White Collar are both shows that I think at some point I want to sit down and try to go through, because I've always had so many of you guys write in to talk to me about those. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a shot at some point. I don't know when, but I'm definitely gonna give it a shot at some point. And Tantalizing, again, thank you for supporting us on that level. Thank you for watching us for years. And thanks for the message. And I will definitely check it out at some point, because that's on my list. All right. Next up, Brandon writes, new episode of X-Men 97. Oh my God, so effing good. I've also had a few people write to me because I didn't like the previous episode. I really like the first two episodes of X-Men 97. The third one about the Goblin Queen, yeah. But everybody's telling me the new one's really good, so I'll check that when I get home. Tantalizing writes in again and writes, another one of my favorites is Burn Notice 2 with Jeffrey Donovan and Bruce Campbell. That was a very popular show back when I was at AMC. And I remember even there being billboards for Burn Notice around the theater, around our offices at AMC. So I've oddly enough, even though I love Bruce Campbell, I've never felt compelled to watch that one like I was to watch Suits or White Collar or Psych. But it's Bruce Campbell, so maybe at some point I'll have to give it a shot. All right. Next up, we've got Christopher Brickner, who writes, you mentioned CinemaCon is expensive. Yes. How much does being able to stream from CinemaCon help with those expenses? Not much, to be honest with you. The benefit of CinemaCon, like the money we make at CinemaCon doesn't even, actually we lose a lot of money covering CinemaCon because we're not doing the regular John Campia show. We're not putting out our segments. Our traffic drops like crazy because we're not doing the regular show. We're not putting out all the individual segments, all that kind of stuff. We lose money coming to CinemaCon. There's no way around it. We lose money and we lose a lot of it coming to CinemaCon. So you might ask reasonably, well then why go to CinemaCon? The reason I love coming to CinemaCon and why for business it's a good thing, for those of you who are regular viewers of the John Campia show, how many times a week does a topic come up that we at some point say, well, when we were at CinemaCon last year, they came on stage and talked about this and they showed us this, right? It literally comes up all the time. Not daily, but at least three or four times a week, a topic, issue, or question will come in where the answer literally comes from last year's CinemaCon, that we were able to talk about it and put into context. the value in us coming to CinemaCon is not being here this week. The value of CinemaCon is that for the rest of the year, with all these movies that are coming out over the next 12 months, we are able to have the perspective that we were there when the director and the star and the producer and the studio head talked about it, and they told us this, this, and this, and they showed us this footage that nobody had seen yet in this, 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 and this. And so we're able to make that a part of our conversation for the next year. So if we look at CinemaCon just in terms of this week, oh, I lose so much money. I lose so much money covering CinemaCon if we just look at it in terms of this week. But the experience of CinemaCon becomes value to us, and I think our audience, over the whole course of the next year. We're able to incorporate what we saw, heard, and learned at CinemaCon. And I think that adds to the value of our channel. I really do. And that's why we do it. That's why the money that I spend to bring myself and Anne and Ray and some years Rob or Chris or Aaron, the value of that becomes in that part of it. So that's why. Anyway, great question. All right. Next up, we've got Dane Yurchok, who writes, if Harvey Dent is in Joker 2 or Batman Part 2, I hope he's played by Patrick Fabian. I never care about X actor and X role. I mean, for all you know, whoever that, I don't even know who that is, whoever that is would be a terrible fit depending on how they write Harvey Dent. So I don't really usually care about that stuff myself, Dane, honestly. All right, next up, Kyle Schneider writes, Fallout is now out. Cannot wait to watch the first episode later tonight. I wish Amazon didn't release all 8 episodes. Weekly would be better. I don't think it's a good sign that they dropped all the episodes at once. Because if they believe the show was really good, and I'm excited to see it, but if they believe the show was really good, they would do what they do with The Boys. They would release it week after week. So momentum builds and audience grows and gets bigger and bigger. If you believe that the show is good. So I'm a little bit nervous that they've dropped all the episodes at once, but I'm still really excited to see it because I've been looking forward to this one for a while. All right, thanks for that, Kyle. Next up, we got YT Pump Life, who writes, hey, John, thank you for covering CinemaCon. Well, thank you for being here and watching as we cover CinemaCon. I appreciate that, YT. All right, next up, our friend Raymond Verada writes, the judge in the Top Gun copyright case ruled in favor of Paramount and that the sequel didn't infringe on Ehud Yane's original work. Thoughts? I can't give any thoughts. We're really here to talk more about CinemaCon. I have not read the ruling. I haven't read the report. I don't know anything right now, so I can't really give. I'm not going to speak without learning a little bit first. So I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more when we get back to the studio on Monday. But for now, I don't have any input because I haven't actually read the ruling myself yet. So I'm not in a position that I can really answer that. All right. It's a good question, though, Raymond. All right. Orange Hand writes, apparently streamers now want second screen content, dumbed down and less engaging shows that can play in the background while you use your phone. I don't know what the context of that is, Orange. I don't know what it is we're talking about there. I'm sorry. All right, next up. John Redcorn writes, chances that we get the voice of Shadow announced at the Paramount presentation tomorrow. Okay, so there are rumors, only rumors, that Hayden Christensen, good Canadian kid, of course, played Anakin Skywalker in those terrible Star Wars prequels. Not that it was his fault at all. He's a fine actor. The rumors are he's going to be doing the voice of Shadow in Sonic 3. That might be true. It might not be true. But we're going to find out tomorrow. Because I 100% believe at this Paramount presentation tomorrow, they will tell us who is doing the voice of Shadow. And if it is Hayden Christensen, and I'm not saying it is, but if it is, I expect we'll have Hayden Christensen come out on stage. I think we'll see him come out on stage. So I will let you guys know tomorrow if that happens. We will keep our eye on it, and we will report to you what actually happens. All right, thanks for that, John. Next up, Moda Awesome writes, I believe that Harley is a doctor in Joker 2 because she's seen on the opposite side of his cell a few times, especially in the last scene in the trailer. Scenes of her as a patient are in his head. Just because she's on the opposite glass of him does not mean she's his doctor. If she's his doctor, she wouldn't be talking to him through glass. Now, again, that's not to say that you're not right. You might be right. But I think the imagination parts are not the things that take place in the prison. So my guess, and it's only a guess, my guess is that they are changing her origin story, much like Joker, the first movie, changed Joker's origin. I think she is an inmate with him. Maybe she was a doctor at one point. I don't know. So I don't know. We'll see. But again, you might be right. I disagree right now, but maybe as we see more marketing, I might come to agree with you, Moto Awesome. We'll find out. All I know is that the trailer was awesome, and I cannot wait to see this movie. All right. Next up, Kevins sends in a $20 super chat. Thank you, Kevins, for supporting us on that level, man, as you always do. And Kevins writes, hello, John. Hope you guys are enjoying CinemaCon so far. We really are. Ballerina, baby. So is Mr. Wick going to be in it? He is. Will this lead to the fifth installment? What are your thoughts? Okay, so as we pointed out a little bit earlier, for those of you who are maybe joining us late, they did show us a Ballerina trailer that they put together for CinemaCon, like a 5-minute thing. And it looks great. And at one point, we see Lance, we see Ian McShane, they're in the Continental. And then at another point, John Wick appears. And you hear Ana de Armas say, you're him. You're the Baba Yaga. And John Wick shows up and it looks like he's going to be even like a little bit of a mentor to her. Now, they told us that the events of the Ballerina takes place in between John Wick 3 and John Wick 4. So everything we see in Ballerina happens before John Wick 4. But I think they've made it pretty clear that John Wick did not die at the end of 4. I think the comments that the director have made recently and stuff like that, I think it makes it pretty clear they're going to say he survived and that they faked his death at the end. So I fully expect we're going to see a John Wick 5. Again, I don't know that as a fact. I'm just saying that's as a fan, that's my guess. I'm fully convinced that we're going to see John Wick 5. But I don't think what we see in the Ballerina is going to have any kind of input on that. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but we'll find out. All right. Good question, man. Next up, we've got Grubby Don't Play writes, should Lionsgate actually market Good Fortune? I don't know why they wouldn't. I can't remember when it's supposed to come out. I don't think it's anytime immediately soon. Like, I think it's this year. It was either this year or January of 2025. I can't remember which. But yeah, they seem very, very happy with this movie. To me, I think it was the best trailer we saw at CinemaCon so far. And that's with all due respect to how great the Joker trailer was. I love the Joker trailer. I actually think Good Fortune might be the best trailer I saw. And they will definitely, they love this film. They're definitely going to market it a lot. All right. Next up, we got Kevin's again, who sends in another $20 super chat. And Kevin writes, also wanted to ask if you have seen a movie called Chef. Oh yeah, we talked about Chef all the time. Directed by Jon Favreau and the stars in it too, Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, Sofia Vergara. Big, huge stack cast in it. I really enjoyed it. Was fun and kind of heartwarming. T-minus 1 week till Suplex City. Yeah, I mean, Chef is a wonderful little movie. It was like a Jon Favreau passion project. And I really like good food movies. There's something about it. And you know a food movie's good when all you want to do is go to a good restaurant when it's done, right? And Chef made my mouth water. It is a heartwarming story. Like it's not, the movie's not about food. It's about the Jon Favreau character, but it's a wonderful little film. And I really, really enjoyed it. And Diller's saying, did John talk about Nosferatu? Yes, we did. We talked about Nosferatu a little bit earlier. All right, next up. We got just a couple questions. Oh, this is our last question of the day. Comes to us from Dwayne Fernandez, who writes, all episodes of Fallout dropped. Can't wait to binge them in. It's at a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's good to hear for the whole season. Any plans to check it out? Oh, yeah. I've been very excited about this. I actually was lucky. I got to go to the Game Awards, the Video Game Awards this year. And as we were going through the little VIP entrance, we just so happened to show up at the same time that Walton Goggins and the cast of Fallout arrived. And we literally bumped into Walton Goggins, which is really cool. And I've been super excited to see this. I cannot wait. I hope it's good. Again, I think they made a terrible decision. Amazon's been making some bad decisions lately, like not putting Roadhouse in theaters. Stupid decision. Anybody from Amazon Prime that watches this show, you guys made a really stupid decision. And I love Amazon, but they made the stupid decision. And I think it was a really bad decision, especially if this show is good. If Fallout is good, then dropping all the episodes at once is like brain level of stupid, brain dead level of stupid, like pure up brain dead level of stupid. Because if the show's really good, all the other shows have proven it. The audience, if you release one episode at a time, the audience will grow and grow and grow week after week, like what's happening with Shogun right now. Like they showed the first two episodes and all of a sudden everybody talked about it. So the audience got bigger for the third episode. Then the audience got bigger for the fourth episode and so on and so forth. And I think it's a really dumb decision. Now, maybe they're just experimenting. And because, you know, Amazon normally does week by week episode, really, maybe they decided to take Fallout and use it as an experiment. See, like, what kind of results do we get if we drop it all at once? But I think they're going to find out not the results they want. I think it was a really bad decision, but I'm really excited about watching it. I'm really excited about watching it. I can't wait to see it. And all right, guys, that'll do it for today's CinemaCon report, giving you our Lionsgate recap and our Universal Studios recap. Again, guys, tomorrow is the big one. Paramount and Disney with hopefully a lot of Deadpool. And I'm sure we're going to get some, you know, Lion King's Mufasa. I think we got a lot of stuff in store for tomorrow. A lot of great stuff coming from Paramount, a lot of great stuff coming from Disney. Tomorrow's going to be a big pack stream. It's going to be a little bit earlier tomorrow than it was today. I think tomorrow's stream is probably going to be somewhere around 5 o'clock or 5:30. Today we started at 6:30. I think tomorrow's going to be 5 or 5:30. I'll let you guys know later. But guys, thank you so much for being here and joining us in our coverage of CinemaCon. We got one more full day to go, which is tomorrow. Cannot wait. Thank you guys for joining me. Big thank you to all you guys who sent in the super chats. Number one, because you give us fun things to think about. And number two, you support our channel, especially during this very expensive week at CinemaCon. You support our channel as you do it. So thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you again tomorrow for Paramount and Disney's presentations. And until next time, my friends, bye-bye.